Good morning. This is Dena Hornby, and you're listening to The Calling, where we explore the lives of people who've been called to various types of ministries, both in their churches and in their communities. Today, we're here with Rob and Dana Owens. They are from Kainos Church. Kainos Church means it meets at 402 North Walnut. They're there on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and then they have Wednesday worship in the Word at 6:30 p.m.
Introducing you to local church and community leaders, The Calling.
Welcome, Rob and Dana.
Hey, it's good to be here.
I'm so glad you both are here. So you've got a thing or two going on, don't you?
Yes.
For those who don't know, Rob, you're on... you're actually a director at Tennessee Tech University. Tell me your job title there. No?
No. I want to see if my wife can get it.
Oh.
Because it's changed over the years.
He is the interim vice president for student affairs.
Interim vice president of student affairs. And the pastor at Kainos Church.
That's correct.
And they have five of the absolutely most beautiful, smart, funny children you will ever meet. And so let's give a shout out to the kids real quick. Say hi.
Hi, Micah, Daniel, Joseph, Ezra, and Noah.
What's up?
So as you can tell, they have a thing or two going on in their lives. And yeah. I have said to them before, I'll say it again, if I had five children, one of us would have to go to church, or two of us perhaps, in our pajamas on Sunday morning, because I would never be able to get it all together. So I'm in awe of the two of you.
And I have responded, I can't believe we get there dressed and ready and halfway on time.
Yeah, part of that is a function of them getting older. So we've got three of them are teenagers now. So,
what's it like having three teenagers in the house?
Well, they can dress themselves.
That's
a change from having three in diapers.
Oh, man. Which is better? Diapers or teenagers?
Mm-mm. I was told when we had our first child, that's Micah, our daughter, by a good friend of mine back home in our church back home, that had children that were about 4 or 5 years older. So he was a little bit ahead of me. And he said, and I was just struggling with having a first child. And he said, Rob, man, this was Don. He said, don't try to, you know, don't rush any stage that your children go through. Don't be overly anxious about getting to the next stage, because each stage has its joys and its sorrows,
yeah,
and difficult times. And we tried to live by that. So there are tough places of having teenagers. But there are also some really good things, too. So, and I'll say it's about equal. Now that's me. I'm the daddy.
What about
now,
you,
mama,
Dana?
May say something different.
I think looking back on it now, diapers, mm-hmm, was a lot easier, mm-hmm, because now it's so many emotions, and granted they can, mm-hmm, express those emotions, which is good.
Well, sometimes it's
a joy.
Harder because they can express.
I think that's what makes it a little bit more difficult, as they just maneuver through emotions and friends and all those things that now are external, that didn't really bother them, and the way the friends feel and that kind of stuff when they're infants. They're just little and you hug on them and they're cute and you just change a diaper.
Yeah.
And you play and you read and you talk and you didn't. We didn't realize it at the time. We just kind of thought, oh my gosh, when they get out of these diapers, or,
right,
oh, when they start to talk, or when they get out of that car seat,
right?
You know, you,
yeah,
try not to do it a lot.
Yeah, we tried not to do that, but
there are those moments.
Yeah.
Well,
but now
exhausted.
That they're teenagers, yes,
you're tired. Yeah.
And some of this we don't totally remember. We just have to look at pictures to tell.
It's all a blur.
It really is. Five children in 7 years.
What's it like having five kids and being a pastor and children's director? Do they see mom and dad as pastor and children's director?
Yeah, I think so, because they are with us most of the time. Even as they've gotten older, we still spend a lot of time together, at church. or at, you know, when we're together at the, at where we worship. So I think they do see us in that way, but we've tried to, although they work with us alongside us, we've tried to, not let them live the PK life, you know, the preacher's kid life. We tried to not do that and have tried to keep certain conversations where they, you know, where they can't hear or, you know, we try to keep certain things together, just Dana and I, to protect the children, and cause we don't want them to see ministry as a burden.
Right. That's wise.
So I don't know, would you add something to that?
I think that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I look at the two of you, I see a great team, a husband and a wife that work together as team so well. What advice do you have for parents who are listening? Just getting through the everyday together as team.
I think it's interesting that you would use that terminology because we play a lot of sports and our children play a lot of sports. And so we are really heavy on teams and team building and character and motivating. And I think that's it. We went to a marriage retreat several years back and it was sports related marriage retreat. And they gave out these balls, these baseballs, and had us to write on the baseball, "We're on the same team."
Oh, I love that.
And we keep ours where we can see it. Yep. And it's kind of where we can see it, but it's there. And when we're in the area, we know that it's there and we can look at it. And so what you said is what we do. We're on the same team and we're constantly talking about strengths and, you know, helping each other with our weaknesses. And as we're team building, and not even just team building, but working with them through ministry and life and people and us and situations and school and, you know, yeah, somebody may not have shown up today and you're going to have to serve, but that's okay because we're not doing it for us. Like, we're on the same team. We're doing this for the Lord. We're on the Lord's team. And it's not to make us feel good or to look good or anything like that. It's, hey, we're doing ministry. And so one of the things that I think that we have that's unique is we still will do testimonies at church. And one of the things that our children really enjoy is hearing those testimonies, because then I think they get to see, hey, we're on the same team as those people that we're ministering with or for, or that's why mom and dad didn't, you know, talk to us last night. And that's why mom and dad were on the phone. Oh, I didn't realize that's who that was. I didn't realize that's what that situation was. And so it has kind of fostered that within our family team. And I think within our church team.
Yeah. I think another thing that, we would share with other, married folks is we talk a lot. We talk, quite a bit. So we'll wake up talking, unless one of us has to get up very early in the morning. We'll talk when we get up, and we talk a lot at night before we go to bed, and we'll talk, you know, throughout the day sometimes, as much as we can, between Dana, schooling at home and me, working, we'll try to communicate throughout the day. So I think that's huge. Communication is very, very, very important.
Absolutely.
And it sort of keeps out. It shuts up cracks, I think.
Seals the crack.
Yeah.
Yes.
It really does.
Yes.
And it also lets you know, keeps you abreast of how the other one is doing and what's going on within the family, you know. So I think that's one of the things that stands out for me is we just talk a lot. We talk all the time.
That's great.
And we're good friends.
Oh, I love that. I'm Dana Hornby. You're listening to The Calling. We'll be back in just a moment with Rob and Dana Owens and more on Team Owens. I'm Dana Hornby. We're back. You're listening to The Calling, and we're here this morning with Rob and Dana Owens. We're going to talk a little bit now about Rob and Dana's calling, and I know that you've been in ministry for a long time. How did you first feel that call on your heart to do this?
I was in college, in grad school, I guess. I guess we'd been married. We had just got married, and we were heavily involved in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship at Tennessee Tech. And we'd both been serving the Lord together as students. And it was probably the second year of our marriage when I really began to hear the Lord's call. And we'd gone on a spring leadership retreat with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And that's when I first sort of began to hear the voice of the Lord tell me that there was more work for me in the ministry, and began to move forward in that. So that's been just over 20 years ago now. I think It was 1999 when I preached my first sermon. Is that right? Was it 99?
Were you scared?
Yeah. But even, I mean, most pastors would say this, preachers, and those butterflies never go away.
Do you have a favorite scripture?
Yeah, Matthew 6:33. Yeah.
Tell our listeners what that is.
Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I got that the summer before we got married. It was summer of 1997.
Wow.
This is when I was studying the word that summer. And that's my thing. Seek God first. Everything else you need will just follow. Yeah.
Dana, did this life make sense?
I don't think it made sense. Still does not make sense.
Yeah, because we were geared up to make a lot of money.
Oh, you were? What were you going to do?
Well, we were at Tech and studying engineering. And I was a biology major and thinking engineering, pre-med. And that didn't go the way we thought it would go. Fell in love, got married, finished up school, and we're at a crossroads. And so we spent several weeks just fasting and praying. What do we do next? And at that point, we got to the end of the crossroads and still didn't have an answer.
Right.
And moved, stayed with his family, and then slowly little steps that we took while still doing ministry, we started taking steps of, okay, what do we do next? Let's take this job. Let's take this job. And then finally, there was a point where we both received a phone call just out of the blue of, hey, here's this teaching position. Not really knowing what it would end. And that route kind of took us back to being back in Cookeville, which took us to doing ministry again in a different way, because we had moved away. And while we were gone about 4 or 5 years, we did ministry at his home church, and being with the college students and being with teenagers, and he did the choir and preaching, and not realizing how all those things set us up for where we are now of doing children's ministry and doing the choir and doing teen ministry and being the first ones at the church, being the last ones at the church a lot. Yeah. And then moved back to Cookeville similarly. So I guess I look back at it and think I was not prepared, but all those little steps led us to where we are now of being the first one to open the doors and the last one to close the doors. And if there's someone to sing, then he's singing. If there's someone to do children's or college or teen ministry, like, we have done it all.
You're listening to The Calling. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Rob and Dana Owens. I'm Dana Hornby. You're listening to The Calling. We're back this morning with Rob Owens and his wife, Dana. They're the pastors and children's person at Kynos Church. They're at 402 North Walnut, and they want to invite you to come join them at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30. And they would like to share with us now a motivational moment.
So, just in light of what our community is dealing with, I had a couple of scriptures that we wanted to share today. Dane, would you read the first one there.
Matthew 5, verses 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." 4 says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted."
And then we have Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Continue or contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality." I was in a group text with some friends, one of whom does not live here anymore, and was obviously was trying to find out how everyone was doing, you know, after the storm passed through. And, you know, everybody's, you know, so you sort of do the roll call, right? "We're good. We're good." And I chimed in and said, you know, "We're good. We're just without power." And we were talking about how sad it is. Here I go. I ain't cried yet. So, but then I said, as sad as it is, God is still in control and he's got it all covered. And so I just, you know, I wanted to share these scriptures just to be reminded of what the word, what God's word says. And Dana read the one for me that's most powerful in this moment. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Our whole community is mourning. Some, it's much more intense because of their level of loss than it is for others. But walking around our university campus and driving around town and seeing the debris that's everywhere, it reminds me that we're all connected. You can't. On that part, in that part of town, you can go nowhere. I have not been able to go anywhere and not feel a connection because I'm stepping on fiberglass insulation. You know, it's the shingling that you're finding across, you know, miles away. But I'm comforted by God's word that says those that mourn will be comforted. And that's an encouragement to the people of our community right now. And the other piece over in Romans, verse 9 starts out by saying, "Let love be genuine." and it's all about love for one another, love within the body of Christ. And I'm encouraged by our community and the love that our community exudes. I think there's something special about us being the only Cookeville, on the globe. In God's earth. I think the level of unity that we have, Psalms 133. Let me see. I think I actually had that pulled up. Psalms 133 says this. It says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore." I'm encouraged that we live in a community where, number one, our city and our county mayors profess faith in the Lord Jesus. I know that to some that offends, but that's okay because even to those that it offends, they're going to get a covering too because their leadership serves Jesus. And our leadership is unified, city and county government. I don't know, we've got issues with some of the diversity stuff that happened a couple weeks ago with the refugees. But ultimately, our city mayor and our county mayor love God and they profess that and they serve him. They're unified. I believe that benefits our community in spiritual ways that some of us will never know. Mm-hmm. And I also suggest that there's a great deal of unity within the church. The Big C Church in our community. There are many of us pastors that are in a group text we communicate with each other. We pray for each other. So I think we're seeing in our community something special in terms of this whole disaster relief effort and the love that is being poured out, because of the unity that exists in our community, both, with our government and with our, with the church. And the government and the church is connected. There's power in that. And there's a protection, I believe, that has come. I know we've lost loved ones, but there's a protection and a favor that I think we have in this community because of the unity and the love that comes from that unity. You realize, do you, listeners, do you not realize that had that tornado, had it come through and hit that hospital, or had it come through and hit Tennessee Tech University campus, 12 hours later in the daytime, as much as many are crying for those folks that have passed, that number could have been 50, 60, 70, 80. So I'm just thankful that we live in the community that we live in, and that we're able to love on the folks like we're able to love on them that are really struggling and have lost loved ones and have folks that are still in the hospital and have lost all of their possessions, that we're going to be able to rebuild, probably more quickly than we would have if we didn't live in this community. So obviously I'm a fan of Cookeville.
So. Dana Hornby, you're listening to The Calling. We'll be right back. I'm Dana Hornby. You're listening to The Calling, and we're back with our last segment of the show, which I always look forward to because it's just fun questions. You do get a free pass, or you can plead the fifth, whatever, something like that. But we're going to get to the nitty gritty of the Owens life. So Dana, I'm going to start with you. I was listening to one of your answers, and you mentioned strength and weaknesses earlier in our conversation. So what would you say are Rob's strengths?
His strengths are his love of family, his dedication, his willingness to work and communicate, and he apologizes first.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so what about Dana? What are her strengths?
This woman loves me.
Oh, love it.
I don't look at you now. She loves me. And it's clear. She wants the very best for me. She goes out of the way, out of her way to make sure that I'm happy and that I'm comfortable. She treats me like a king.
Mm.
She loves my children and she follows me. I'm a visionary. She trusts me to lead her and our children into these wild ideas that we have. And they're not really wild. I mean, just playing the church is not wild. Or starting a community organization.
No.
It's not really wild.
No.
But no, those three things jump out at me.
I tease that I'm only following because he's the balloon, the guy in the hot air balloon.
Oh, yeah.
So our analogy is he's the guy in the hot air balloon that can see far. And then I'm the one who is holding the tether rope.
What is your most used emoji on your phone?
Mine is the just a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Smiley face or winking.
Winky
kissy face. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So Rob, do you name your car? No,
nah.
Your car, you've never named a car.
He did not name him, but the children named
yes.
The Suburban that he had, Mr. and my old Suburban Mrs.
Oh yeah. They did do that.
Mr. and Mrs.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
You could be the funniest person in the room or the smartest person in the room. Which would you want to be?
Funniest.
I say funniest, too.
Yeah. Because you have to be smart to
be
funny.
To be funny.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you could have an unlimited supply of one thing for the rest of your life, not money, what would it be?
If I didn't gain weight, Snickers bars.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. They're so good.
I agree.
Do you ever get those little bitty snack bite ones?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you eat 10,000 of them.
Do you know how many you can fit in your mouth at one time?
I do not.
Yeah, I don't either. Just asking. I just was wondering. Yeah, but 12.
Gasoline.
What would you do with all that gas? Where would you go?
I would just, then I could sell it, see?
Oh, here we go, making some money.
Making money, because yes. Then I could.
This is what I live with.
I could help.
I am the one holding the balloon tether rope.
People would come to me for my unlimited stores of gasoline. I'm like, you know, Robin Hood, right?
Yes, so, yes, yes.
You know, rob the rich to give to the poor.
Okay, so that begs another question.
Yeah.
Would you have like Robin Dana's, you know, gas station, or would you sell it on the futures market?
Probably some of both. We keep diversifying. Yeah, we diversify.
You would diversify your gasoline.
He's lying. He would give it all away.
Nah, I couldn't.
He would.
You got to hold on to it because some people are always going to need gas.
He would give it away.
We could then use that money how we want to use it in the community.
To do good. Yes. Thank you, Rob and Dana, for being here today and for joining me, for discussing your ministry all the way from day one to today at Kynos Church. Thank you for sharing your story of your sweet family and your calling. Each week, we'll introduce you to members of the community who have followed their call to serve. I'm Dana Hornby, and this has been The Calling.